Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, we used to do it every Thursday night. That was before I started doing 95 shows every week. How's it going, everyone? Your latest mailbag is here. It was supposed to be for September 29th, 2022. I am one day late. COVID is almost out the door for yours truly, but I got to tell you, what wild swings of energy do you get out of this? One day you want to paint your house, clean your house. The next day you just want to stay in bed all day. Yesterday, off and on, I must have slept about 18 hours. Today, though, I feel a hell of a lot better. We still have Theraflu in the cup. Wish it was something else, but I think the worst is over. I want to thank you all for the well wishes. And, you know, as far as your questions for this mailbag, especially email, I got about 25 variations of questions that either had to do with the white rabbit or had to do with COVID. So I ended up bundling it all, and I'm going to answer it in two rather than giving 25 different answers. But I will say this. A lot of you asked me a very similar question. Since I was vaccinated four times, do I regret or do I think the vaccinations were a waste since I got COVID anyway? No. Absolutely not. In fact, this is my honest opinion again. I know some of you have heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. COVID vaccines were never intended to prevent you from getting COVID. That was the biggest mistake that Trump did from day one. That is the biggest mistake that our government, the CDC, and everyone else, they gave that impression like, hey, if I'm vaccinated, I don't have to worry about COVID anymore. No. I always compare it. Remember my nightclub analogy? Pretend you open up a nightclub and there is a gang in a neighborhood called COVID and you get your nightclub, but you have no protection, no bouncers, no security, nothing. And then that gang called COVID decides one day to show up and cause chaos. You have no security. You have no backup whatsoever. You got to try to battle it yourself and hope that COVID just gets sick and tired of fucking up the place, and they leave on their own. So what does the vaccine do? It gives you a couple of bouncers, gives you a little bit of security guards. Sure, if that gang COVID still shows up, they may still cause a little damage, but at least your security guards know what to look out for and know what to do about it. And that, to me, is the best way I could ever describe the vaccine. In fact, about 2 weeks from now, once I am officially over this, I plan on getting the vaccine with the variant. So if I ever get COVID again, you know, then at least I know that my body has some preparation to deal with these variants. But I can't thank you all enough for the well wishes. Thank you all for the congratulatories again with regards to my wedding. Today I'm going to shout out three of you specifically, but I got close to 30 you know, items in the mail, cards, letters. Some of you specifically said, don't mention my name. A couple of you were very, very specific as to why. And, you know, without getting into anything specific, you know, some people are fans and followers and friends of multiple shows, podcasters out there. And, you know, if you give a little gift to someone, then that other person, you know, almost that person may feel, why didn't I get something? Or, you know, and then it's yeah, I get it. I get it. But one person in particular wrote me this very kind letter, and it kind of puts an exclamation point as to why I'm doing this still after 25 years and hope to be doing it for another 25. Who knows? As long as it doesn't interfere with my personal life and I can physically and emotionally do it, I'll do it. But I want to read, it's a very touching letter that I think you'll all appreciate. And we got this box. This is Eddie K, that you all know as Zylot Themes on Twitter. Every time we have a live WWE or AEW event, Zylot Deems is always posting screenshots of the wrestling that you're seeing on TV. And I know a lot of people always get pissed off at him because he puts his logo everywhere on the photos. And that's smart because he takes the time to screenshot it and put it online. Some people will just copy and save it, use it for themselves. You know, you give the guy a little bit of credit. So he sent me this mystery box. I know that there's something AEW related in here. And I promised him that I would open it up live on the show. So we'll do that in a little while. But I want to get right into the mailbag. Because honestly, I don't know how long my throat is going to keep up with this. And I'll be honest with you as well. If you look at the time, right now it's about 3 p.m. here on Thursday, the 30th of September. This is the third time I'm trying to record the show today because my real office work gets in the way. My mom and my dad literally just stopped by for 5 minutes to see how I was feeling. And I don't have a pause button. You know, I could stop the recording and then restart it and then just splice the two together, but I don't want to be bothered with that shit today. I want to record it, get it online, and get out of here. So, without further ado, Dom Gibson from Philly, do I see Impact Wrestling being around longer than AEW as a company? And the answer is no. Say what you want about Tony Khan. And I've said it before, he's got a personality disorder. There's no question. I don't care how much you like him or AEW. It's pretty much a fact. But you cannot deny Tony Khan's passion and love for pro wrestling. Impact Wrestling is more of a company-driven organization. What I mean by that is you don't have an individual Tony Khan in that company that wouldn't mind. I mean, Tony Khan doesn't want to lose money. But if Tony Khan lost a little bit of money and is fulfilling his dream, that is money well spent to him. You know, at some point, a lot of the people who run Impact Wrestling, when they're not carrying a profit and the ratings keep going down and the ticket sales keep going down and merchandise sales, you literally have to beg people to buy stuff. You have to come up with, you know, in-ring use this, that, just to try to make 20 bucks. Gets to a point where the company as a whole just says, look, this is just not worth it. I know that's sad. But I just am very concerned about Impact Wrestling's future because there's no one out there on the sidelines. I've been doing this since 97. And over those 25 plus years, when we ever talked, even the early days of TNA, or we talked about AEW when it started, we talked about MLW back in the day and other companies, Lucha Underground, Wrestling Society X, they were never a threat to WWE. But we always said, wow, wouldn't it be awesome if so-and-so signed with WWE or vice versa? You don't have these huge names just sitting out there waiting to be poached. And you know that Bray Wyatt is not going to go to Impact. And even when Impact does get some big names, whether it's from Japan or some former WWE talent, they don't affect the ratings in any way, shape, or form. Tony Khan, as I've said this before, pretend that Tony Khan only has $5 billion. Only. If he lost $100 million a year. And you know AEW makes some money. But even if after everything is said and done, AEW still lost $100 million a year. After 10 years, that is only 20% of Tony Khan's entire net worth. If you base it on $5 billion. AEW is not going anywhere. If they lost the TV deal, and they couldn't find anything else beneficial, and they had to go like streaming only, I think AEW would end up following the footsteps of the early days of NWA TNA and charging a fee every week to watch their product. I really believe that could happen. But the chances of AEW not being able to get a TV deal is slim and none. There is enough demand out there. So AEW, even though they're having issues, obviously, because they're not the most professional company out there, they'll be around. They'll be around. Unless Tony Khan just says, look, I've had it, I'm out of here. Or some unbelievable major disaster would happen. And, you know, we hope that doesn't happen. So, Joey from Brooklyn, do I get hate mail? Who doesn't get hate mail? Everyone out there gets hate mail. Even the most beloved podcasters and writers out there get hate mail. The nicest wrestlers, divas, women, men, they get hate mail. You know, me, when I get it, you know, if it's something really whacked out, I'll share with everyone out there. Most of the time, I just delete it. You know, I just, or I save it, you know, because you never know, you know, who could possibly take it to the next level. I mean, there's been a couple of times over the last 2+ decades that I actually had to call the cops about stuff. Never underestimate who's on the opposite side sending you that stuff. Most of the time, they just want to piss you off, rattle your brain, you know, take you off your game a little bit. But there's some other people out there that take this shit so seriously. You got to be careful. You got to be alert. But you also got to understand in this day and age, and look, no one deserves hate mail, you know, that are just doing what they love to do. And, you know, but there's some people out there that will interpret, you know, a little bit of hate as, you know, like, you know, death threats. You know, it gets a little bit over the top with some people. I mean, you know, even the slightest little knock, you know, they just really get rattled over it. And, you know, like, what's even worse is, you know, that there's some people on social media that claim that they're the victims of hate mail and death threats when you know that that's probably not the case. And they're just looking for 1,000 people to say, oh, you don't deserve that. You're a good guy. You're a good girl. Oh, why would anybody say that about you? You know, there are some really weird people out there. I mean, if you want to compare it to real life, how many times over the years do you hear a story about, it's usually a student, somebody in school who claimed that they were victimized, harassed, you know, beaten up, threatened, you know, racial stuff, non-racial, gay, straight, and then you find out they made up the whole story because they were just looking for attention. You know, it happens. It happens even when it comes to, you know, our line of work. But yeah, I've gotten it, you know, and unfortunately, you know, it sucks, but it comes with the territory. You know, I usually just, you know, it's water off a duck's back. Matt Prince, he was listening to the latest Q&A and mentioned that I buy K-Cups. And he gave me a link, which I will definitely check out over the weekend. His girlfriend has a coffee company, and I grabbed a Google image screenshot before I went live just now, and her company is called Angelino's. That's pretty cool, man. I'm going to check it out. And I, everyone out there, if you're into K-Cups, go give it a look. Angelino's. I'm assuming it's angelinos.com. I'm not going to lie to you, though, brother. I had to screenshot something else when I saw your comment. To this day, whenever I think of the name Angelino's, I know it's an outdated reference, but who remembers Angelino's from Three's Company? The restaurant that Jack Tripper managed. Yeah, Angelino was the guy with the beard, as you could see on the screen. Who remembers Felipe? Anybody remember Felipe from Angelino's? I know, it's outdated. Three's Company was one of my favorite TV shows growing up. Angelino's. But good luck, man. I'm going to definitely check it out. No BS. Angelino's Coffee. Always into drinking coffee. Maybe not right today. Theraflu is still on the menu. But good luck for her, man. Good luck. Then again, she might be around for quite some time. She don't need the luck. But yeah, go check it out. Angelo's Coffee, everybody. Roderick Howard was the Akeem gimmick in the Golden Era rib on Dusty Rhodes. He doesn't understand why Vince made the change from the one-man gang. Look, at that time, one-man gang was awesome. You know, 747, very intimidating, but you had a lot of heels that were just big, giant, intimidating guys. Vince wanted to be a little bit more comical with Akeem. I am one of the few that actually enjoyed it at the time. I might have enjoyed it more because of the slick theme song, Jive Soul Bro. But I don't know. I always thought Akeem was having fun. I don't know why. Like, I don't watch shoot interviews anymore. And I'm sure he has talked about it a million times over the years, but I always got the vibe that that One Man Gang actually was having fun with the gimmick. I thought it was goofy. I thought it was a little bit ridiculous, but especially when he would like dance a little bit and try to like do some break dancing. But I was a fan of it. Him and Big Boss Man, I thought were a great tag team. I also think that if One Man Gang would have still been One Man Gang, he probably would have kind of outshined Big Boss Man a little bit. The way they transitioned him into Akeem, it felt like Boss Man was the leader. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody out there. Money in a Bank had existed in previous eras. Who would be some Money in a Bank winners in those eras? Number one, I'm happy that Money in a Bank was not around in the 80s and the 90s, because I think by the time it would have gotten to the 2010s, I think people would have been sick of it, just like King of the Ring. Survivor Series had to undergo so many different variations because WWE just felt it was stale. I also think Money in a Bank, back then, you would have used big-time established stars. You know, I think Macho Man would have been a winner. Bret Hart would have been a winner. I don't think you would have used it for an up-and-comer where, you know, like the big-time underdog wins it. You know, you're in the Hogan era, you're in the Macho Man era, Ultimate Warrior, you know, even to the early 90s, you know, I don't see somebody totally off the radar suddenly get it. Look, Diesel pinning Bob Backlund in a couple of seconds, to me, was the closest equivalent to a Money in the Bank cash-in, if anybody understands what I mean by that. You didn't see random title changes and spur in a moment. Diesel won in a couple of seconds. That literally is a Money in the Bank cash-in, if you think about it. All he needed was a briefcase. So, you know, I'm thankful. I'm very, very grateful, and I'm happy that Money in the Bank was not around back then, because I think some of the unexpected cash-ins would have been so played out by the time we would have got to the 2010s. And if Charlotte Flair were to lead a Four Horsewomen group, who would I choose as the three members? Who would be the Arn? Who would be the Tully? And I know this may sound like a cop-out, but other than Sasha Bailey and Becky with Charlotte, I don't pick anybody else. I don't think of any women's tag team in the last 5 years that I would have put as your Arn and Tully. You could take any established stars. You could take Sonya Deville. You could take some others, and I think they would be a great member of the Four Horsewomen. But I like the original four because they came up in NXT together. They came to the main roster pretty much together. And I wouldn't change that. I would not put four people together just to put four people together. The Hurt Business ended up feeling like the Four Horsemen a little bit. And I'm kind of pissed that WWE broke them up so early in that run. But, you know, and who knows? Maybe that does reform one day. But no, just because, you know, Charlotte is this daughter of Ric Flair doesn't mean you have a Four Horsewomen group just because there was one before. That's just my opinion. Claudio has been a fan for several years, and I got a kick out of this. Over the last year or so, he has really enjoyed me talking about everything that led up to my wedding and giving advice on relationships. He tells me about his story that he is going to be getting married in October of this year. He met a girl during his trip in Portugal back in October 2018. He said it was love at first sight. He went to Armenia, which I'm assuming where she lives, in February of this year, spent time with a family with her. Took 3 months for him to get his Canadian documents because they're going to be living together in Canada. And he is going back to Armenia to get married on October 9th. He says their story is identical to the movie Before Sunrise, which I have never checked out. But any advice that I can share? First of all, congratulations to you. That is awesome. Me, I was very, very privileged to meet my soulmate. In fact, we're going to celebrate our 10-year anniversary being together in about 2 weeks. Yeah, that is a picture from my wedding, September 3rd. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. She's awesome. My advice to you and to everyone out there, to keep it simple, I know this sounds so cliche, but believe me when I tell you, it's not. Be yourself. Don't be something that you're not. Don't live a lie. There are so many people online. I know I've talked about it, and I don't talk about it anymore, but it's obviously the right time to remind everyone. There's so many people online who have created this life through social media that people believe to be true. And you would be shocked as to how many people are living that lie. That, you know, they all these feats of kindness, happiness, superhero stuff, problems, tragedies. And most of the time, you know, if you notice a lot of that, you know, the other people who are supposedly involved with that, none of those people ever have social media. You ever notice when there's like a tragedy or you help someone, this and that, like they never show any evidence of it, or there's no one on the opposite side that correlates it. It's just whatever they post and people believe it. And look, some people do that because they have to feel the need of being accepted and wanted. And the attention is almost like a drug. But the problem is, you do that in a relationship, sooner or later, you know, the lie cannot be lived. And if someone that you're with for a long time finds out that, you know, you've been living a lie, you know, that is disaster just waiting to happen. It's legit. It's no coincidence that a majority of those people online are not married or are not dating anyone. Because if you follow the persona online and then you start getting into a relationship with the person privately and the two don't match up, you know, how do you justify that? You know, how do you hide it? How do you explain it? So, you know, just be yourself. Just be yourself. Put your faults out there. You know, just be yourself. And if you still get along and you still love each other and you still enjoy each other's company, then you know that you're doing it for the right reasons. Never get married simply because you want to get married. I know a few people over the years that, oh, I got to get married before I'm 30. Oh, I got to get married before I'm 40. And I know some people who rush to get married because of something stupid like that. And most of them are divorced by now. You know, I would have gotten married a couple of years ago if COVID never came around. But we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary in October. And yeah, better late than never to get married. But, you know, she is my perfect partner. You know, be yourself. Best advice I can give everyone out there. So, all right. Gary Vaughn is taking his wife and kids to Magic Kingdom in October. Any suggestions based on my experience? You're not going to the Halloween party. All right. First of all, what I would do is if you're staying at one of the resorts, definitely go to Magic Kingdom on a day where they have after hours. Because I took advantage of that and went, because some days they'll let you stay in a park 2 extra hours and it's only open to resort guests that are, you know, having a room. And the park was almost empty. We got on so many different rides in those 2 hours, everybody else had to leave. My advice, you know, like I said to others, is bring an umbrella. Ponchos, you know, you should have at least a disposable one, but it rains every day. I don't know how long you're going, but it rains every day. Also, be prepared to walk and walk and walk. Pace yourself. pay attention to the temperature. I don't know if I'll ever go back to Disney. We had a nice time. We obviously got COVID from Disney. But, you know, I was never a Disney person. And although we had a really good time, I'm not sure if I'll ever go back. But if I do go back, one thing that me and my wife already agreed is that we probably would go in October or November, where the temperature is in the 70s. Because some days we were there, it was in the mid-90s, and it was just too hot. But, you know, just go and have a good time. But pace yourself. Be prepared for the rain. Run DMG. I mentioned MLW, NWA in trouble. He agrees. New Japan is not healthy. With WWE and AEW on every week, is there no room for a third promotion? There is definitely room for a third promotion. Problem is, what is that third promotion's identity going to be? I think Impact Wrestling lost their identity over the last couple of years. And no, Wrestle House was not their identity. Sometimes you can't really put that identity into words. It's just a style. It's just an attitude. It's just a way you present yourself. You can't force it. You can't, you know, recreate it. You know, it's just an aura about it. ECW in 1994 kind of found it. You know, it wasn't just the extreme element of it, but there was an attitude and a style about ECW. And once you felt it, you know, then you knew how to build on that. And the problem is you don't just throw shit on the wall and hope that it sticks. There's definitely room for a third promotion because AEW has a shitload of faults. WWE has a shitload of faults. I don't care who is heading creative right now. But the problem is, what is the identity of that third promotion? You can't just put, Impact Wrestling is proving, you can't just put names out there and that means ratings. Because they've put a lot of New Japan guys, they put former WWE guys, they put a lot of names. And there's a lot of big names in that company right now. And they can't even draw 100,000 viewers. Think about that. AEW did 1.1 million a few times in recent weeks. Impact Wrestling can't even get 10% of that. Just let that sink in a little bit. I think Impact might be more like AEW than they are WWE. And you can't even get 10% of AEW fans to watch Impact on a Thursday. That is awful. And it's concerning. Kevin Milwaukee always felt that there was big money in the RVD heel turn in his WWE tenure. He always considered RVD to be the Randy Moss of pro wrestling. He didn't even have to try his hardest, yet he could do amazing things. How would I have booked RVD 18 years ago? Very similar to when he was on WWE TV in 1997. Mr. Monday Night. Rob Van Dam was a heel. RVD was a heel when he was showing up on Raw and still wrestling for ECW. He wanted to be Mr. Monday Night. That cockiness was perfect, you know, and it stuck around a little bit longer than people realize. So RVD was a heel in 97, you know, but you say 18 years ago, which would have been 7 years after that run. So 7 years later, RVD was not necessarily a household name, but he had a gigantic following already, and he was the heart and soul of ECW in its final days. So no, I would not have made RVD a heel in 2002, 3, or 4. I would not have done that. At that time, it was the right formula, and I'll never forget that moment on, I think it was Raw, when Steve Austin said, the first person that opens that door, he's going to, and RVD opened the door. Crowd, I still remember that moment to this day. So RVD, I would not have changed anything at that time. Blazing Bolts and a lot of others. Bray Wyatt, Rabbit, White Rabbit promo has his interest. What do I think will be different from his version and The Fiend? When do I think he'll re-debut? And that is the biggest question. And there were a few others out there that were asking me, am I 100% sure it's Bray Wyatt? I am 1,000% sure it's Bray Wyatt. See, when you know it's Bray Wyatt, and you're positive it's Bray Wyatt, and you tell everyone that it's Bray Wyatt, and you back it up, that leads to no other conclusion than it's Bray Wyatt. That's not a formula for hits and views. When everything is said and done, there's going to be some people out there that would have done 20 to 30 podcast episodes questioning, who's the white rabbit? Who's this? I'm not talking about just covering latest teasers and QR codes and vignettes, but there are people that are going to milk this into 10, 20, 30 episodes playing off that, oh, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. And people are just intentionally keeping it vague as in a way to create content. And if people tune in to them, then that is a recipe for success. For me, I just feel that if I kept it unclear and I kept it vague and teased it so I could get like 5 extra episodes questioning this, questioning that, you know, I could have taken a whole different route on Monday and said, hey, maybe it is Malakai Black. Maybe Bray's going to return him with his faction. Maybe by the time he returns, Malakai Black's release would be official. But I didn't want to go that route because I knew it wasn't true. But it is so easy to do something like that because it catches someone's eye. Holy shit, Malakai Black could possibly be part of this? I got to see what this guy's talking about. Then it sparks debate. Then it sparks conversation. Then 2 months later, when you realize that it was Bray Wyatt all along, then you look back and you say, hey, that motherfucker knew it was Bray Wyatt. And he kept that shit unclear just to get us to click into extra shows. You know, I don't want to do that. Other people are. And if you keep tuning into their stuff, if you get upset about it, that's your fault. That's not their fault. I am 1,000% sure it's Bray Wyatt. I think his look is going to be more, I don't want to say leather, but I think he's going to be more of wearing dark colors, not necessarily like floral like the Bray Wyatt stuff. I expect him to be wearing dark colors. Could he come out with a mask? Yes. Will he wrestle with a mask on? I don't think so. So I think there will be aspects of Bray Wyatt, and who knows, maybe even a drop a little bit of The Fiend as well. But Bray Wyatt is going to come out, and that's how I envision him. Mostly dark outfit, dark colors, maybe a leather, maybe a little bit of spiky. You know, I see it, I can't draw it on paper. So, but that's how I see it. And I think this goes beyond Extreme Rules. The only reason why they would reveal it at Extreme Rules is because they want him for Saudi Arabia. If Bray Wyatt is not going to be part of Saudi Arabia, this will continue for at least another 6 weeks, in my opinion. Puffy89 has jury duty today. Ever done jury duty? What was the case? I was on jury duty once. All I remember is sitting in a room, waiting, 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 and then they sent us home. That's the furthest I ever gone. I was supposed to do jury duty last month, and I got it postponed until next year. So that's my extent of jury duty. Willie G, with the upcoming turning the clocks back, what do I think about all of the USA and daylight savings time? Willie, if it was up to me, I would get rid of it. I understand the scientific and the logistics behind why we have daylight savings time. But me, I wouldn't mind it being darker in the early morning and later at night. You know, it gets a little bit complicated. And I'm not going to get into all the aspects here. You could all Google it. But, you know, even simple things like, you know, they don't want kids going to school in pitch black in the morning. You know, even though now you hear that some schools are going to keep their classes going until 5, 6 p.m. at night, where in the wintertime, it would be dark anyway. But there's a lot of reasons behind it. But me, if it was up to me, I would probably vote to get rid of daylight savings time. That's just me. Kavan, two questions. Would I rather take 10 chops from the Big Show or 10 chops from Gunther? I would rather take 10 chops from Gunther. Not because it would hurt less, but I would be talking about it on my shows here until the day I die. You know, every soul growing up, Don Tony, taking 10 chops from Gunther. Like, even though it probably would have killed me, I think if I survived 10 chops from Gunther, I think that would be something to be proud of. I look at Sheamus with his shots that he gives. I guarantee you that some wrestlers that are going to do podcasts 10, 15 years from now, and they're going to reflect on those chops that they would take, those forearms from Sheamus. So Gunther, absolutely Gunther. Now, how do I feel about Roman Reigns fighting both nights of WrestleMania? Maybe the first night he fights The Rock for the Universal title and wins, and then he loses the WWE title on night two to the Royal Rumble winner, which he thinks would be Cody Rhodes. It's not a bad idea. Roman Reigns absolutely could wrestle two nights in a row. How many times has Roman Reigns wrestled on a Sunday night pay-per-view / premium live event and then would wrestle on Raw? How many, not even just Roman Reigns, others? You know, wrestlers have wrestled two nights in a row. How many times has Roman Reigns wrestled on SmackDown and then the next day wrestled a WWE house show? That's not out of the question. And Roman Reigns being booked for two nights would be a gigantic draw. It's not a bad idea. I don't know if they do it because you kind of want to, like, you know, like, spread the love a little bit more. But, hey, he's undisputed WWE Universal Champion. He's got two titles. It's not out of the question. Evie Mulholland. What do I reckon about Survivor Series War Games, the Bloodline, and Sammy versus everyone who has been beaten by Roman Reigns? Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Edge, Seth Rollins. That's not bad. I don't think you want to portray a team of losers to Roman Reigns. It just looks inferior. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. You know, like, you get a whole bunch of people who have lost to Roman wanting to get their revenge. But that's kind of like, okay, Roman's all over here and everybody else is over here because they lost to him. It's not a bad idea. Some of those names will be on that Survivor Series team. I think Braun Strowman is a very good possibility. Drew McIntyre is a possibility. It depends, you know, what his issues are with his back. Kevin Owens is one. Seth Rollins, maybe. I don't think Edge would be on the team. But that's not a bad idea. That is a creative suggestion. That is not bad. But I don't see WWE going with something like that. You know, like Roman's losers versus the Bloodline. I know they wouldn't do it like that, but believe it, I tell you, if you think about Survivor Series in the 80s, you know, they would have some wacky names for teams. Didn't we have, like, the King's Knights and stuff? I'm not saying that that's a whack name, but if you go back to WWF in the 80s, you could see like a team called Roman's Losers. Rams fan, the year is 1998. It is September. I got $400 in my wallet. What am I doing? I think Heatwave 98 was not in September. I don't think that, what was it, July or August? I don't know, but I would pay to go to Heatwave 98, ECW Heatwave 98. if I could blow $400 at that time, I would have gotten a plane ticket, one, two, maybe three of my friends, and go to Heat Wave 98. Second favorite ECW pay-per-view of all time, would have easily been willing to drop four bills to go to an ECW event like that. Can't think of anything else that I would do at that time. I wasn't going to clubs anymore. I did go to a lot of wrestling, but yeah, I think I would go to ECW Heat Wave 98. And if Heat Wave, you know, I'm actually kind of like being a little lazy right now. I could literally just, and that would be cool if it was. It can't be September, because Heat Wave 98, it would be a little bit past, September would be a little bit past, yeah, it was August 2nd. So, you know, I would pay and go to an ECW event with that. But too bad you didn't say August, because that would have fit like a glove. Yeah, September is a little bit past Heat Waves, but yeah, that's what I would have probably done with my money. I would have considered going to a WWE event as well. Hell, you know what? I would have considered going to WCW too. WCW in 1998 was not bad. I mean, 1998 might be one of the better years of wrestling. I mean, ECW, you know, my favorite ECW year of all time, I think, is 1995. But 1998 was a pretty awesome year as well. RVD and Sabu, top of their game. Taz was still doing what he was doing. Raven, you know, Sandman were transitioning with the WCW stuff. So, and then you got all the WWE stuff, Attitude Era. Jesus. I mean, could you go wrong going to any of those promotions? All right. Near my thoughts on what's happening in Iran right now, it's good to see people, especially women, finally just standing up to themselves, but it's a shame that it took a person being brutally assaulted for everyone to stand up. Near lives in Israel, everyone, and you obviously from afar see all the turmoil that goes on out there. You know, look, it sucks that tragedy sometimes makes people get together. Tragedy sometimes makes people fed up no more. We've seen it here in the United States. You've seen it in the UK. It happens in all areas of the world. It just appears differently. I think the problem in Iran is you look at the regime, and until that movement is so large that they can overthrow their government, their regime, ultimately this might come across it'll fade away. I mean, there'll always be people out there trying to fight and trying to, you know, make peace and freedom. But unfortunately, you know, their regime seems to prevail. Same thing when you look at North Korea and other areas. You know, you hear little rumblings about this. And then, especially with North Korea, you hear rumors that, you know, like most of their country has no idea what goes on in the outside world. And then somebody sneaks a USB drive or sneaks this, sneaks that, and then they get a little hint. But the problem is, once that starts to spread and they start taking out your family, you know, you're right back to where you were before. So, you know, it's nice to see some people standing up, but, you know, how long does that last until the regime puts a stop to it? So stay safe, my friend. All right, Crazy Cruiserweight. What if the what chants were created for Miles Bourne in today's age? Would it be humorous or in poor taste? It would be an absolute poor taste. For those that don't know, Miles Bourne is a signed wrestler to WWE Developmental. He is clinically deaf. Not a bad up-and-coming wrestler. Good physique. Some people compared him to looking like a young Randy Orton. I talked about this earlier this week. I don't remember if it was Patreon, but he cut his first promo right before a match he had on Level Up for WWE. And you hear the promo or watch it, you can hear that he's deaf. You'll figure it out. But it's a very inspirational story. So, you know, I think doing What Chance for him would be cruel, and I don't think it's funny. He wouldn't hear you, which is a good thing. And I'm not even saying it to be a dick. You know, if he was a heel and they were doing that, I would be like, huh? I can't hear you. What? I would do that just to be a dick. I would troll people right back. But very inspirational story. I know a lot of you out there probably don't even know about him. Miles, spelled with a Y, not M. Not M-I, M-Y. Miles Bourne with an E at the end. M-Y-L-E-S-B-O-R-N-E. Am I happy that I broke the cycle of being the man in my family and hitting my wife? I did tell in the past that I grew up where I saw my father hit my mother. I never saw my father hit my mother. I was hit, and my mom would try to stop it. My father never laid his hands on my mother. Never, ever said that at all. Being honest, never, ever in my lifetime ever saw my dad hit my mom. Me, different story. My brother, different story. My mom would get in the middle because she knew my father would never lay his hands on her. Father never laid his hands on my mom. Out of these wrestler deaths, which one would I stop from happening? Mike Awesome, Johnny Grunge, Balls Mahoney. Out of the three, it would be Mike Awesome because Mike Awesome committed suicide. Balls Mahoney, unfortunately, overdose. And anybody that knows about me personally knows I was friends with Balls Mahoney. Balls Mahoney was a big supporter of my early days doing the Black Heart Sports Entertainment Hotline with Mad Zombie and Brian Damage. We hung out with Balls Mahoney many times. Balls Mahoney, good friends with Low Life Louie as well. He unfortunately OD'd. Johnny Grunge, look, he was overweight, sleep apnea. And even at the time, I didn't even understand the seriousness of sleep apnea until, you know, many years ago. I needed a CPAP machine. Thank God after 6-7 months, I didn't need it anymore. But, you know, Johnny Grunge, you know, he got too heavy, had a lot of health issues as well. Mike Awesome, though, you know, he committed suicide. So he would be the one that I would try to stop. So, and, well, we still got to do an unboxing. Oh, you know what? I'm going to read this. Just very, very cool story. This is someone by the name of Yuri. I won't say the last name, but I'm not going to show all of the information here, but he sent me a very, very generous gift, and he sent this letter that I wanted to share with everyone. Dear Anthony, I remember standing around the kitchen phone with two of my brothers calling 718-303-4444 and listening in. That was back in the 90s. For those that don't know, that was my wrestling hotline phone number in the 90s. All these years later, I'm still tuning in. I've been through the early podcast days, the Minority Report, the Roundtable, DTKC, Breakfast with Blasi, Breakfast Soup, Q&A. I've provided thousands of hours of entertainment and endless nights. You were side by side with me in high school, college, in the corporate world, through the best of times and through the worst of times. I even remember listening to the podcast where while my kids were being born. How awesome is that? Thank you so much for everything that you've sacrificed for our entertainment. Congratulations on your wedding. Please accept the attached gesture as a late wedding gift. Your friend, Yuri. That is very, very kind of you and very generous of you. That is someone who has been tuning in to what I do since the 90s. And, you know, sure, it makes me feel old, you know, but to hear, you know, you tuning in, going through school, going through work, going through your kids being bored, watching them growing up, hanging out, you know, before you were even old enough to drink, that's awesome. And like I said, it's comments like that as to why I do what I do. Believe me when I tell you, there are some people out there that do this simply to make money, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are some people that do it just to feel relevant. And, you know, look, if that gives them happiness and some people tune in, there's nothing wrong with that either. I do this because I love pro wrestling. I love interacting with all of you. I love debating, having different opinions. I love all of us together watching something in real time, which now we get to do at watch parties, which I wish so many of you would stop by for an hour. I'm telling you, you'd get hooked. You know, being able to watch swerves and storylines and, you know, little things going down live and just hearing everybody react certain ways. It gives me flashbacks of when I used to hang out with my friends in my house watching a pay-per-view. And then something happens. I still talk about it to this day. I will never forget it. You know, back, what was it, 2006, I think it was, when John Cena was the surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble. I think it was 06. Maybe I have the year wrong. Maybe it was 08. But Cena was a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble. And I remember I had a bunch of indie wrestlers in my house. We were eating pizza, watching the Royal Rumble. And believe it or not, I tell you, not a lot of people were these big fans of Cena at the time. But when Cena came out, I think at number 30, everybody in my house, like, popping and losing their shit. They're like, oh, fuck. And they all loved it. And these are, you know, grown adults, wrestlers themselves. And just for those moments, you know, just the kid in us, the wrestling fan, the young wrestling fan in us just came out. And that's kind of something that we don't do as much anymore. But at least during the shows, you know, we all have a common love still for pro wrestling. Yes, my shows may have conversations that have nothing to do with wrestling because I always feel some real life discussion needs to be had. I know some people tune in and all they want to hear is wrestling discussion and get out of here. You know, they come here for wrestling. If they want real life, they could go somewhere else. But, you know, I consider all of you who tune in more than just viewers. You know, I consider you an extended family, and that's no bullshit. So if I could give a little bit of advice or opinion or experience, whether it's a relationship or COVID or money or we have social issues, we have tragedy, you know, we can actually talk about it as adults. There's a lot of people out there that can't talk about real deep issues. They don't know how, or they don't want to, or they just want to block it. Me, I feel, you know, we should tackle things head on at times. So to be there for Yuri and for all of you out there, believe me when I tell you, your gift was beyond generous. And I thank you for that. But what you wrote in that letter, you know, it can't be beat. Can't be beat. So I thank you for that. I want to shout out also Sean, who sent me an awesome, very cool looking card, and inside, money, 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 money. Ooh, yeah. Thank you very much, my friend. I don't want to reveal, you know, the details, but Jesus, you know, he sent a little letter, you know, that he's doing really, really well in the business world. And I'm like, I can't cash this. And he's like, nah, brother, don't worry about it. So, but thank you to all of you out there. Believe me, I tell you, it will not go to Grubhub. It'll definitely go towards it. When we get certain things, you know, my wife has not moved in yet. Unfortunately, we've been dealing with COVID the last 2 weeks. So she's going to move in about 2 weeks. Once she does, you know, we're going to have to like get a little bit of additional furniture and stuff like that. So when we do get things, I will definitely take some photos, and some of you will be the ones responsible for some of the things we get. I thank you. Let's open up Eddie K's mystery box. So I think he said that there's at least a shirt in here. But there, see, I'm keeping the box low because I don't want to reveal his home address, obviously. So All right. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here. All right. Well, we got some NXT cards, I see. And there is a lot of cards in here, a lot of loose cards in here. Tons of NXT cards. This is almost, I feel like I'm Don West right now. Look, everyone, Tony Storm. That's awesome, man. He sent me a ton of NXT cards. These are 2021. And, wow, this looks like the whole set, actually. So very, very cool. I'm going to go through the cards later on. But thank you for that. That's awesome. I see a few other things in here. Okay. This feels heavier than a shirt. No, there's two shirts in here. All right. Zylot Themes, what did you get? What did you get? Holy shit, look at this. The Buckeye Combat Club. That is because of where they were recently, because AEW actually does make theme shirts. A lot of you have seen me wear the New York AEW shirt. That's awesome. I am going to wear that next Wednesday, unless this shirt maybe changed my mind. Maybe I have to wear this instead. Oh, no. We'll wear that one Wednesday. This is cool, man. Look at this. I was there 2022. That's WWE shirt. That's awesome, man. That's all. I will wear this shirt on Saturday. This Saturday's episode of the Don Tony Show. I will definitely be wearing that. Oh, you cocksucker. Oh, you motherfucker. There is something. DMD. Not, that's not why I said that, though. I don't want anybody, any fans of Britt Baker, do not get upset. I'm gonna put that back over here somewhere. I'm going to put that up for next week. I tell you, I'm looking through these NXT cards. They're pretty cool, but there's two other things in here. Oh, I know what this is. I definitely know what this is. I could tell by the material. This is probably the sign that he had. How many times have you seen this sign at AEW events? And on the back, that's cool, man. That's cool. This is, if you look at the AEW events, you saw this in the crowd. That's awesome, man. I got it. Yeah, this is going to go in the background once in a while, so. Very, very cool. This is pretty epic, man. Because I always used to joke about Evil Uno, Evil Pizza Uno. I don't know if it'll be the thumbnail. Well, you know, we gotta be a little bit. Look, we got. Wait. Let's put this down here. Now, let's put this over here so it's nice and neat. Oh. Now we can do it. Look. I don't do thumbnails. That's awesome, man. Thank you. This is cool, man. This is cool. I got to go through those NXT cards later. Very, very cool. Thank you. That was very, very kind of you. And I popped for the sign. I popped for the sign, but... Yeah, they would get. Were they giving these away? These DMDs. So were they giving them away? But yeah, I'll put that in the background. But thank you again. And the shirt's awesome, man. I'm gonna wear the WWE one on Saturday, and I'll wear the AEW one on next Wednesday show. So much love. Thank you for that. Very, very cool of you. Very thoughtful of you. Shout out to Tom Phelan. And we have Charlie Conway, which I know a lot of you see and talk to in the chat. He writes random things. I guess I'm supposed to react to this stuff. So we're going to wrap up the show getting into what he is bringing up. He says, will we learn of Jeff Hardy's rental car agreement since I'm not pursuing it? If the court wants to reveal who rented the car for Jeff Hardy, they will. A lot of you out there know already that I was pursuing it. And by now I would have obviously had it, but I backed off because someone, as I said before, someone who I very, very much value his opinion, that wrestles, that is friendly with Jeff Hardy, not doing it to defend Jeff Hardy, said to me, like, you know, can I give you some advice? I said, yeah. He says, back off. He says, don't even go there. Because at the end of the day, whatever it reveals, I'm going to just come off looking like an asshole. And Jeff Hardy is in a fight of his life, not court-wise, but health-wise and an addiction. And that's something that, you know, you don't want to add wood to the fire. You know, I remember the Perry Saturn stuff that I researched. I remember the Kamala stuff that I researched. And even though I got a lot of questions answered, at the end of the day, I came off looking like an absolute asshole. An absolute asshole. And I was like, wow, I did all this hard work and I'm the bad guy out of all of this? How is that possible? And with the Jeff Hardy stuff, just because you can get information doesn't mean you should. So if the court wants to reveal it, they will. Me, it's just not my place to do it. I want to see Jeff Hardy get well and stay well. And to me, that is more important than me revealing something and people like, holy shit. And then, you know, an infamy. Oh, yeah, so revealed. Let someone else do that. And if you notice, no one else is, because they're probably getting similar advice from others too. So would I say the same on Sabret as far as New York hot dogs? My favorite New York hot dog of all time. And anybody who is my age who are Yankee fans will pop for this. Ballpark Franks. I still remember as a kid, my dad taking me to Yankee Stadium in the late 70s especially. And this is my memory in the late 70s, going to Yankee Stadium with my dad, my mom, and my brother. We would go to Yankee Stadium. I always remember walking outside of Yankee Stadium at night after the game, or if the game was out of reach, we would leave an inning or two early. And any of you that's ever walked through old Yankee Stadium, you know what I'm about to say. You smell this smell of charcoal, pretzels being cooked on the beds of charcoal, eating a pretzel, knish, and then it was a ritual. Whenever we would drive home, my father would always stop at White Castle and would buy us White Castle. But going to Yankee games and eating Ballpark Franks at the Yankee games, and they would boil it in water. You would get a Yankee Frank, and it would be boiled in water, and they would pull it out of water, put it in the bun, and the bun would get a little soggy because they didn't obviously dry the Frank off first, but it was just awesome. I still smell the charcoal to this day, as weird as that may sound to some of you out there. All right. Would another incident cause MJF to ditch AEW? No idea. Remember the original incident. You know, some people called it a shoot that was turned into a work that became a shoot and a work. Nonsense. Remember how Tony Khan handled the situation? That is why the day I was doing the show live, and people were saying to me, MJF just no-showed and he's getting on a plane and going home. I was like, I don't buy it. And Tony Khan's silence, he was silent because he didn't want fans later on to say, this motherfucker lied to us. If he would have acted publicly and addressed it and said that that is unacceptable, he walked out on everybody and this is, if he would have done all that, and then we would have found out later on that it was all storyline and they were just renegotiating things, people would have called him a liar. Tony Khan, one of these weird things about him is he doesn't ever want the fans to accuse him of lying. So he kept silent. And as I said at that time, the more Tony Khan was silent, the more he was talking, if you could understand why I say that. Yes, I will be doing an Extreme Rules review next weekend. I'm trying to make sense of some of this stuff. Which way Rock Reigns different than Rock Cena, Cena Orton, TLC 13 unifying the championships different than Lesnar Reigns? I don't know if you're making a comment or asking a question. Keith Lee, concerns about him wrestling. There are a lot of people that are concerned about the excess weight that he has on. Funny thing is, no joke, I've had a few people that actually have worked shows with Keith Lee that have seen him up close and say that, you know, he has not put on as much weight than as people have perceived it to be. I have looked side by side at some of his work in NXT and in AEW now, and there is an obvious difference in his girth. But, you know, I personally think, and I've said this before, I think that because of his health issue last year, he might be dealing still with long COVID. You know, like he may have some bouts where he, he gets a little bit quicker loss of breath. I think some of his cardio has been affected because of COVID. And I don't think it's just him, as some people think, is just eating and not exercising like he used to. I really think that he's got some limitation right now. Not enough where he's not cleared to wrestle. I think he's obviously cleared to wrestle. But I think Keith Lee has some lingering effects from his health issues from last year. And as a result, he's put on a little bit more weight and he's a little bit slower. And I think they're also being cautious. I think that's why he's in a tag team as well. I think it's just to be cautious with him and taking it slow. Now, of course, that's none of our business. But, you know, if that was out there, it might have people understand a little more as far as Keith Lee's current conditions. But once again, that is something that's rather private. And you got to, that's why I really don't talk much about Keith Lee's, you know, current matches and work rate. And I try, because I don't know how much of it has to do with his health issues from last year. And unless he wants to tell us, it's none of our business. So I take what he does at face value and I leave it at that. If Randy Orton comes back, yeah, I could see him doing something with Riddle. I could see Orton being a heel. I could see Orton just attacking Riddle out of nowhere. Thank God Triple H has had him drop the whole Randy obsession. It wasn't needed. It wasn't helping his character. But I think Randy Orton will be back sooner than people realize. I am a fan of slushies. As you can see, a lot of this is random. We're almost done. No updates on the Chase and Rand situation. You know, the Chase and Rand situation is disturbing because of the amount of people in the wrestling media world that never bothered to cover it, that never expressed how outlandish it is that he is a tag team champion with a 16-year-old being a convicted sex offender. That's bizarro land. And how many people out there just didn't even cover it? You know, that says a lot about a lot of people out there. So I have no thoughts on what happened with Waco at the time. You know, when I think of Waco, I think of a wacko. I have no comments on Timothy McVeigh, another wacko. And will Stephanie, Triple H, and others appear periodically? Or will they stay absent? No, they will appear from time to time. You know, we got the DX 25th anniversary coming in less than 2 weeks. So Triple H will be featured. We won't see too much physicality with Triple H for obvious reasons. But, yeah, we're needed. Look, Stephanie, they just did that documentary of her and Nikki Bella, the feud. You know, Stephanie, she's not needed on TV right now. But, yeah, we will see them make appearances from time to time. So, all right, everyone, we've gone right about 75 minutes, which is always my sweet spot here. I always aim for 60 to 75 minutes, and we ended up hitting that for this. So I thank you all for your questions, whether sent through YouTube or on email. As I said earlier, some of you I bundled into, you know, some answers with some other questions, you know, because it would have been ridiculous for me to answer like 15 different variations of the same question. The White Rabbit stuff, you know, there's really not much for me to add at this time other than sit back, enjoy the ride, and, you know, just keep the Bray Wyatt answer on your brain, because it'll make trying to uncover little teasers now even more fun, because you know which direction to start with. So it's going to be awesome. You know, whenever they reveal it, they'll reveal it. But there is so much more to come. There is so much more to come. Right now, we're just the QR codes and little, you know, spliced, you know, TikTok video. When they start getting into the hardcore, deep, you know, teasing of him coming back, that's when this shit's going to get really intensified. Right now, and if you check out the October 1st edition of the Don Tony Show, holy shit, it's tomorrow. I'm going to talk a little bit more about something I said a couple of days ago that a lot of people picked up on and are like, wow, DT, I think you're onto something. I think the Zoe Stark tease that led to her return in NXT was a test of how social media reacts to QR codes and jumbles, you know, like the, you know, like the word scramble. I think that was a test to segue to what they did now with Bray Wyatt. And I think this is a formula that WWE is going to use in the future. It's interactive. And that's the coolest thing about it. You know, having Easter eggs and teasers are fine. But when you can actually do something that forces people to be interactive, like scanning a code, you know, seeing a code at the desk area, and every time they're around the desk area, you try to like zap it and this and that. You know, anytime you could get your audience engaged, that's fucking awesome, man. So, and we've just begun. So sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. We'll be doing another one of these in 2 to 3 weeks from now. And, you know, by then, maybe we will have a revelation. We'll see. But I thank you all, as always, for your support. If you enjoyed this mailbag, take a moment, hit that thumbs up. It is very much appreciated, and it does help the show. If you're not a subscriber yet to the channel, consider subscribing. I do different theme shows multiple days during the week. Mondays are mostly a Raw recap and any news that transpired over the weekend. Wednesdays are primarily AEW NXT with a little bit of Impact and indie wrestling mixed in. On occasion, we do a Q&A on Thursdays. Every Tuesday, I do a Patreon exclusive show that our elite channel members here on YouTube also get access to. And then every Saturday, you got the Don Tony Show, which is a little bit of a SmackDown recap, some major news for the week discussion, and anything else that we want to throw in there. And then Sundays are the sit-down. I show up live, I have a cup of coffee, and you give me questions and comments, and you dictate of what is discussed on Sundays. The entire show Sunday is interactive, and whatever is on your mind, that is what we talk about. And it's pretty cool when you look back at the synopsis of all the Sunday shows and realize that everybody who tuned in live were the ones responsible for those topics that were discussed. So pretty cool. I kind of enjoy our little diverse, you know, array of topics and subjects that we do on the shows. But I'm going to jet out of here. Much love as always. Again, hit that thumbs up if you haven't done so already. Consider subscribing. Consider becoming a channel member. Member of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony. You go there, you got thousands of hours of Patreon exclusive shows. You even get a little bit of old Don Tony and Kevin Castle show, about 500 episodes of Breakfast Soup when I used to do it, Mish, and tons of other stuff. Plus, you get ad-free versions of everything that I do right here. So, be well, everybody. All the best. Stay safe, and I'll catch you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.